This is WKSU News. I'm Kabir Bhatia. The effects of coronavirus are being felt everywhere, from our region's parks to small businesses. Sarah Taylor and I will answer your questions about coronavirus. Even before Governor DeWine ordered non-essential businesses to close, we started getting emails from people who felt they were being forced to work when they should have been staying home or working from home.
And we've also heard from many people who feel that maybe their employer is staying open but is not essential.
So the concern for a lot of them is, how do I report this without retribution?
Earlier this week, Andy Chow from our State House News Bureau asked the governor what people should do.
If they're not getting that satisfaction and think that these rules are being violated to their detriment, their health detriment, they have every right to contact us about that.
Is there some sort of system where they can do that anonymously? We're hearing that people are afraid to lose their jobs if they do speak out.
Well, they can certainly do that. I'll go back to my experience in as a prosecutor. You're always better, having better information. But if we get that information, we certainly have the ability to act on this. Again, the goal is to get people to do what's right. So, if we came upon a situation like that, our first step would be to notify the company, and ascertain whether we thought that they were in fact violating the rules. If we decide that they are, we would certainly ask them to change. If they don't change, then we would follow up from there with the legal consequences.
This past week, by the way, there were legal consequences for about 36 businesses that were operating but deemed non-essential, including a car wash and a vape shop. They were shut down by Summit County Public Health. So what the governor says in these press conferences is being enforced under Section 18 of the order.
Lieutenant Governor John Husted added that businesses will probably have to follow these guidelines for a long time, even after they reopen and get back to being fully staffed.
And I should mention that not only do we air Governor DeWine's press conferences, but they stream on our website and we live tweet them. During Saturday's briefing, the governor said he's having his team inspect every state contractor currently working to make sure they're following the safety protocols.
Our next question is also one we've been getting more and more. Once someone has tested positive, do they build up antibodies? Are they immune?
For the answer, we went to Donna Skoda of Summit County Public Health.
I could be tested right now and be negative and be positive tomorrow. After this is over, if we did some surveillance, just like West Nile, when West Nile hit, afterwards there was a lot of surveillance that occurred. And that surveillance basically said that a whole lot of people had already had West Nile and never even knew they had it. I mean, we have to remember that 85% of the folks who have this virus may not know they have it, may not know they are carrying it, and may have very, very mild symptoms.
Future testing for immunity is actually moving forward. According to Angelo DeLucia, a virologist who's been teaching about coronavirus-like diseases at NEOMED for 30 years.
There's one that just came out that is just using a very simple process that even local hospitals could easily implement in order to see if you've been previously infected by looking for antibodies against viral proteins. But those have not been FDA approved yet or tested rigorously so that we can understand the results from those tests yet. But it's going to be in the works soon. Most of the time, this will be antibodies that arise in the body and fend off the virus, so we hope. But the IgG antibodies, okay, that's a specific type of antibody. Those will be long-lasting and stable, and we should be able to screen our population after to see how many of us were infected by this virus and maybe suffered symptoms or maybe didn't. And so that would be a very important study.
DeLucia also discussed how long coronavirus can live on different surfaces.
24 hours on cardboard, 2 to 3 days on plastic and steel, several hours in the air or whatever. But what they haven't done is shown that how infectious is it to somebody picking it up from those surfaces. Okay, so those studies haven't been completed yet. So my feeling is that if you go with the CDC's results, and they're pulling their results from what's happened in Europe and China, of course, it's human-to-human contact of some sort, being in the same room closer than 6 feet, hugging or touching, and then touching your face. This is the main major route.
By the way, along with surfaces in your home, we've been asked about packaging from the grocery store and restaurants and whether those need to be disinfected.
The rule of thumb seems to be transfer food to new packaging in your home, like plastic containers, and as always, wash your hands.
What about if you microwave food? Is that going to have any impact?
A jury's still out on that, but Dr. DeLucia at least said this about warm weather.
The problem with that is that I think in Australia, it's summer down there, and they have infections ongoing. And so, you know, all bets are off in terms of whether the heat will, in fact, you know, destroy the virus.
Our next question is from Richard Stratton, who asks, which outdoor activities are affected, specifically in our parks?
So the parks have been deemed an essential service since the governor wants people to get outdoors for their physical and mental well-being. But we have links for what's closed at WKSU.org, things like playgrounds, many visitor centers, fitness stations. Some restrooms are open throughout the various park systems, mostly for emergency use. And many golf courses have limited scheduling. But the Cleveland Metro Park Zoo is closed, and they have online programming. Their CEO, Brian Zimmerman, has actually made a video, which you can find at our website, about precautions everyone should be taking when they hit the parks. And on a side note, I should mention that as of yesterday, the Cuyahoga Valley National Park closed several parking lots and the entire towpath trail, but that's due to flooding.
And our final question this week comes from Anthony Gardner.
He wants to know if there will be a major spike in births 9 months from now, as we often see after major power outs or blizzards.
We'll let Governor DeWine answer this one.
If Dr. Acton is right, we may even see a baby boom. We see a lot of babies born, and there's nothing more joyful than the birth of a child. So we have a lot to look forward to.
You can find additional information about coronavirus and ask your question for Oh Really at wksu.org/coronavirus. I'm Sarah Taylor.
And I'm Kabir Bhatia, 89.7 WKSU.